ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So this is it, Veda Vinashanam. That's right. Nityam Yainam Ajam Abhyayam Katam Sa Purusha Parta Kam Yatayati Antikam Vedasinasanam Nityam Yainam Ajam Abhyayam Kitam Sapurusha Parta Kam Gatayati Hantikam Veda knows Avinashanam Indestructible Nityam Always existing. Ya, one who. Enam, this soul. Ajam, unborn. Avyayam, immutable. Katam, how. Sa, that. Purusha, person. Partha, O Partha Arjuna, come, who, Katayati, causes to hurt, Hanti, kills, come, whom? Translation, O Partha, how can a person who knows that the soul is indestructible, eternal, unborn and immutable, kill anyone or cause anyone to kill. Everybody read that together. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Everything has its proper utility, and a man who is situated in complete knowledge knows how and where to apply a thing for its proper utility. Similarly, violence also has its utility, and how to apply violence rests with the person in knowledge. Although the justice of the peace awards capital punishment to a person condemned for murder, the justice of the peace cannot be blamed because he orders violence to another person according to the codes of justice. In Manu Samhita, the law book for mankind, it is supported that a murderer should be condemned to death so that his next life he will not have to suffer for the great sin he has committed. Therefore, the king's punishment of hanging a murderer is actually beneficial. Similarly, when Krishna orders fighting, it must be concluded that violence is for supreme justice, and thus Arjuna should follow the instruction knowing well that such violence committed in the act of fighting for Krishna is not violence at all, because at any rate, the man, or rather the soul, cannot be killed. So for the administration of justice, so-called violence is permitted. A surgical operation is not meant to kill the patient, but to cure him. Therefore, the fighting has to be executed by Arjuna at the instruction of Krishna's with full knowledge, so there is no possibility of sinful reaction. Om Agana Timirandasya Ganandana Shalakaya Chaksura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunivari paschacha desa tarane vancha kalpa charubhyascha sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namah. Okay, I want to thank everybody for coming. It's a special gift of the Lord if someone likes to hear Bhagavad Gita, is attracted to Krishna Katha. It's not everybody, even amongst devotees. Mostly, you know, Burijan Prabhu, he's, you know, reading all day long to write his books. And he said, if someone comes and he doesn't want to spend time, he just says, let's read together. And almost always they leave. Oh, I have to go. But if you talk anything else, they'll stay for hours. If you talk the news or something, want to hear what Mr. Frump did or something, I'm fascinated by that. Well, I know something. I read. A few people that really like Bhagavad Gita, they're very fortunate, and we're fortunate to be in their association. So this has some interesting information that very few people know, especially this capital punishment thing. I think it's completely illegal in Europe now, in the EC, or Eastern, what is it, EU. And they think it's better to keep someone in a tiny cell, you know, for the rest of their life, death row, and live like that. And then they still carry the weight of the murder, so they have to be killed in the next life somehow or other. So the science of karma, people don't understand. Oh, don't be cruel, don't be cruel. America has banned it in many states, and they've made it so difficult to get a verdict. And then so much money the state has to pay for the lawyers and everything. They said in California it cost the state about $4 million for every execution. Because they appeal so many times, they have these volunteer lawyers, and the state has to pay for that because they don't have money. And then when they do the execution, it has to be in a big theater with hundreds of witnesses, and and they're trying to find a painless way to kill somebody, right? So they finally got to this lethal injection, but now they think that's maybe painful also. I don't know who tells them, but so they're just crazy. Guy will be a multiple rapist, child abuser. Be merciful, be merciful, be kind. Don't be cruel. So it's crazy. So that's one thing. Karma is such that if you're punished for the crime, then you don't have to carry that with you, the karma for the crime. If you're not punished, in the next life you get it. Sometime down the line it's going to come. Then they wonder why this happened, But, and not only for murder, but other things too. It may not be capital, but something. So violence has its place, I was in China and we were waiting in the train station. And I noted one devotee was talking to a young girl a long time. She was like a new associate. And I said, what are you talking about? And she said that Lord Nrisimhadev should not have killed Hiranyakasipu. So we explained what he did, what a big criminal he was. And she said, no, but he should have just asked him to stop. A lot of good that would have done, right? And he was liberated by that, part of his lila. So people are like that. But, when the police kill a terrorist or something, everybody's happy, right? They shouldn't say, no, you should talk to him, while he's, killing everybody. You have to kill him, right? The sooner the better, Everybody's happy. So they say everybody should have a gun so they can do that. It's pretty hard to do and, get your gun out right? Can't have the, like in American airports anyway, American embassy. You know, the Marines are there with their gun like this all day long, finger on the trigger. So it'd be hard way to get away with anything. But someone else has their gun in the drawer, you know, how's their chances of getting it out, right? At home, these people, you know, it's too much. So the soul can't be killed anyway, Krishna's saying. And these people all get liberated by being around Krishna when they die. Prabhupada is at one man's house in India, and he was saying, you know, he was in the Battle of Kurukshetra. Prabhupada said, no, it's impossible, you weren't there. He said, yes, I was. And that probably if you were there, you wouldn't be here. You would be somewhere, you know, elevated, maybe liberated, you know. So we can't exactly enforce all the Manosamhita rules now, because actually leaders are not qualified to know who's guilty. You know, like making an adulterer sleep on a hot bed, you know, steel bed with big fire under it, or embrace a heated up statue, or eaten by dogs alive when they're in public. You know, those are Manosamhita, but we can't do that now. But it becomes too far when they just leave everybody, you know. So if Krishna orders whatever it is, it's got to be good. Whether it's fighting or doing something else, you know. If it's Krishna's order, then it's the right thing. It's good for everybody. And if someone doesn't want to do what Krishna orders, then create chaos in society, because Krishna knows the future and he knows what's needed to be done and what's actually good for everybody. But we can't always understand that. So some people think Bhagavad Gita is, you know, promoting violence. But readers, the real readers of the Bhagavad Gita are never violent. You never hear of that. Prabhupada was saying in the court in Calcutta, where there's some criminal maybe was killing, and he said, well, I'm just following Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says to kill the demons or something. But they can't decide who's a demon. Jack the Ripper, he was killing so many prostitutes and saying, I'm doing a great service to the London city because of killing these sinful women. But I don't think it helped him anyway. So, like, surgery is quite violent sometimes. But it's good for the person. They're using a very sharp knife, but depends who's wielding the weapon, who's wielding the knife, you know, what their intentions are. So the soul can't be burned, can't be... What else? Can't... Huh? Can't hear you. One at a time. Huh? Can't be cut. Can't be frozen. That's not, you know. Can't be hurt. It lives forever. And nobody can be killed unless it's their karma to be killed at the time. There is such a thing as premature, but it doesn't leave the person who killed them innocent and not going to get any reaction if they're just trying to kill people, you know, thinking. But if they're directed by Krishna, and, you know, like to protect society, like if a wild animal comes into the train station and starts attacking, you know, if somebody kills him, he's a big hero. But some people complain it's animal cruelty. But if you just kill someone just because you don't like their face or something, then you're in big trouble. And if you do any kind of violence, any kind of violence is generally a crime, right? Domestic violence, child abuse, are big crimes. But it gets overlooked a lot. You know, but so we don't want to be violent. We practice ahimsa. But sometimes, you know, devotees are policemen or something, they have to be violent, right? If they're soldiers. Because if you're doing it on the order of the government or something, then if it's wrong, the government gets in trouble, not you. You know, the army gets, you know, the police get, the leaders. But if it's needed, if it's right, then the person who carries out the order of the government, they're not responsible. Even if it's wrong, you're not responsible. But that very few devotees are in that situation, but sometimes. And so we're supposed to be thinking about the soul. You know, everybody asks, how are you? Right? You ever hear that? I get it constantly. I don't know, you know. Who are you is a better question. Like in the Bhagavatam in the 11th canto, the swan incarnation. Anybody ever read that? Huh? Yeah, Hamsiv Avatar, Hamsa Avatar. So the four Kumaras had some questions that Brahma couldn't answer. So he called for the Lord to come. And he came as a swan. And he started speaking very, you know, amazing things. And so the four Kumaras, when they saw, they said, who are you? And he said, well, if you're asking about my body, you should say, how are you five? Earth, water, fair, you know, what is it? Earth, water. Anybody know? I hope. Huh? Say it. What are the five elements that everybody's made out of? Every tree, every bug, everything. Different combinations, you know. Formulas. What is it? Air. And ether. So some are mostly earth, some are mostly, you know, intelligence, some are, you know, different things. Our bodies are so much water, but it doesn't look like it. You know. I had a realization of that when I saw a devotee getting cremated. And it took a real long time to get the fire, you know, to burn the body, because so much water was coming out. You know, as everything broke, the water is coming out like anything. I say 70 or 80% is water, even the bones. How can that be water? You know, but a carrot is about 80% juice, but they're very hard, right? So there's so much mystery in the world. So he said, how are you five? And then he had a few other tricky replies, you know. So the soul is, you know, what are the qualities of the soul? Misery? What are the basic qualities of the soul? Three. Yeah. And? Eternal? Huh? Yeah, eternal and full of? And what? Bliss, yeah. So, you know, if we're thinking about that, we always say, well, I'm blissful, everything's fine, you know. So I usually tell people, well, you should know the qualities of the soul, so there's no need to ask, you know, unless you think I'm not a soul. And you have a material body, so you know the qualities of the body is, you know, is temporary and miserable and what? Huh? ignorant, you know. And the mind is everywhere all the time. You can't even know by the time you can answer, because your mind changes so fast, you know. It's so it's not very, you know. That's why I just heard that Chaitanya Charan, and he was saying about mind and intelligence. He said, you know, the intelligence should be above it and evaluating all the thoughts to see if they're worthwhile or not. Because you know, otherwise you let the mind run wild and just think everything I think and say is perfect, you know. And other people may not agree, but so the mind is thinking. And thinking is constantly changing this way and that way. I like it, I don't like it, you know. One day you love something, the next day you hate it. You know, someone, something, some place, right? Or even in the same day, it can change so many times in a minute, you know, more than the biggest supercomputer can calculate. And the body, you know, we may think it's all right every once in a while, but, you know, if we have any knowledge, we know what it is. It's just rotting away, you know. We used to say this all the time when I first joined. It was very common. It's just a bag of stool and urine and, you know, mucus. Tridatuke. That's from the Bhagavatam, actually. So who would want to embrace that? Who would want to love that, you know? Right? Somebody just hung up a bag, you know, full of the ingredients of the body in the middle of the room. Nobody would want to get near it, you know, afraid it would break. So the body will break like that at some point in our life. So, and rather than, you know, worrying about that so much, and of course, if somebody's really sick, then we have to be compassionate and try to find a way to get them on the ball again so they can think about the soul. It sometimes becomes very hard if there's a lot of pain or something. The mind gets so distressed, that's all they can think of is all the problems they have. Darkness all around me, you know. So, but if we talk about the soul a lot, and the Supreme Soul, and the qualities of the soul, and, you know we're eternal, so we're not afraid of death, and, you know, but we have to hear about it a lot to get through the coverings of ignorance, all the wrong things we've been taught our whole life, you know. Even in India, the doctors at the hospital in Bombay, they said the first thing they learned when they went to medical school was there's no soul. You know, it's just some kind of things, you know, like Iron Man or something with his power pack in the heart. Or, you know, there's no soul. It's just a machine. Many scientists now, you know, have noted that something goes out when the body drops out. But mostly the cause of death, heart attack, this attack, that attack. Not that the soul was time to go somewhere else, right? That's why the body so-called dies. It's already dead. It's completely dead already. But the soul is driving it around. Super soul is actually, because of the soul, and he's taking us wherever we want to go. Just like Arjuna is telling Krishna, go over here, go over there, you know. And so we're in the body and we're telling the real power that Krishna is the one who's animating everything. Go over here, go over there, take me here, get, you know. Constantly telling Krishna what to do, and he does it. The super soul. Even though he might be telling you, don't go there, don't go there. No, but I want to. And you don't care. And you get in trouble. He could be telling you, go to the temple, go to the temple, get up for Mangalarti. Too tired. But if you get a taste for Mangalarti, and you get a taste for other things, taste for hearing Bhagavad Gita, that's a wonderful thing. Taste for chanting, a real taste. Bhaktivinoda says, so you can drink the liquid nectar of the holy name. Right? Jodi asked me one time, she said, You know, when you chant, is it really a taste like when you eat something? And I said, that's what we hear. I mean, that's what all the authorities say. I don't know. For me, I don't, haven't noticed that so much. But then I was at a house in Pune, devotee house, and the kids were eating ice cream. And one of the boys said, this, the chanting tastes much better than the ice cream. So he had some special realizations. But, you know, we get a taste. So that in the beginning we might say, okay, I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to chant now. I have to chant. I have to go to Mangalarti, right? But it depends on why you think you have to go. If you think I have to go in order to make progress, so I want to go, that's very good. That would be spontaneous devotional service. But if you're just going because if you don't go, you won't get prasadam or something, then that's not so purifying then, right? I was in charge of Juhu in the early days, and so many devotees didn't come to the morning program. And then they'd always be at prasadam. So we made like two chits. And to get into prasadam, you had to have both of them, Mangalartik and classes. And so some of them would show up, you know, and we had a very big, strong temple commander. So he was enforcing it. And they started fights, you know. You can't do this to me, you know. But gradually they started coming, you know. So there is purification and benefit. But even mundane counselors, you know, one of the first things they teach is never say, I have to do this. Say, I want to do this. I love doing this. You just say it. It'll change your mentality. I love chanting. I just want to chant. I don't want to do anything else. You know, and you convince yourself. Oh, I have to chant, you know. So if you feel like I have to chant because I might fall down or something, that's also good. But if you just tell yourself, I want to do this. I want to chant. I want to go to programs. I want to read the Bhagavad Gita. I want to go to Bhagavad Gita class. Like all of you, obviously, nobody's forcing you. Because otherwise there'd be a lot more people here if they were being forced. But, you know, you want to. So that's, you know, it's a great privilege to be in the association of people. Like in the Kabhi Habi Bolo song, he says, Kini Bolu Tibo Harinama Ras Rasya Rasika Charanap, you know, that I will beg, borrow, or steal the holy name. And I heard Bhaktivedanta Swami once, he was in Chopadi. He said, you know, I'm so lucky to be here with all your devotees who love to chant, and I'm just going to steal off some of it. I'm going to let it rub off on me, you know. Because the association like that, who people really like chanting and they dancing, and then you just automatically start doing it without thinking. That's why we have Sadhu Sangha, we have association with devotees, because otherwise, you know, we might not do things. We might not chant. So, you know, gradually we get that taste and we just want to be with devotees all the time. And we want to chant, we want to read Bhagavatam again and again. And it actually get more and more realization how it's ever fresh and new all the time. It's not the same old book that I already read. You know, you can make experiment with the Bhagavad Gita. Just, you know, however much you read every day, you know, if it's 10 minutes or 5 minutes or 2 hours, just read the same part over and over every day. Again and again. And then I did that, like chapter 9 especially, a lot. And then you start to remember it all the time. But also you just find so many new things. And you said, well, I never read that before. You know? Because Krishna, the more you try, the more he reveals himself. You know? like it is Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, so it's just like being with Krishna. You know, it's exactly the same. It's not like it, it is being with Krishna. You're hearing Krishna speak. And it just get. Arjuna said, "What? How did he say that? How many times? Read it. What did he say? Tell me again and again, right? Right? Wake up, you know. Don't read it? You know, I never tire of hearing it. Tell me again and again. And, you know, when Arjuna, after the battle, where he had, you know, fought such incredible fights, and then when he was escorting the queens of Krishna, he got attacked by some coward men and they defeated him. He couldn't remember his mantras for all his super weapons. So he was bewildered. And another time he was with Krishna, he was feeling weak, and he said, tell me again, you know, what you taught me on the battlefield. And Krishna said, well, I don't remember. But I'll tell you something. And then he told, you know, the same thing in a different way. And then Arjuna got fired up again. So we need to read again and again because we don't have that good memories, you know. Right? I mean, if you've read the Bhagavad Gita, you've heard all these things. But either you're embarrassed, you might say the wrong thing. There's no such thing as saying the wrong thing if it's from Bhagavad Gita. It's always right. Even if it doesn't seem to answer the particular question or, you know, you're not sure if you got it right, speak out because then it opens up your hearing process. It does everything. Just read it again and again. Read the same chapter every week, every day for a week. See how you feel. Or the same verse. If you're only reading one verse. Because if you read the Gita Mahatma, it says, you know, if you read one chapter daily, then you're going to get so many benedictions. And it lists the different benedictions you get from different chapters. And then it says even one sloka. And it says even half a sloka. You know, even one line of the four lines. You get so much, you can get the same benefit if you really do it with faith and, you know, determination. And it gives one story. There was a very sinful couple that lived in the forest and they were murderers and criminals and everything. So they died at the same time, maybe in the middle of a crime, and they became ghosts. So that for many, many, however long, they were suffering like anything in a ghost body. You know, they can't eat, they can't do anything. And so they sat down under a tree one day, and the husband said, we have to get out of these ghost bodies. This is no good, you know. So the wife said, well, how do we do that? And he said, we have to talk about the Supreme Soul and the soul and, you know, karma and all these things. So she didn't know about any of those things. And evidently they speak Sanskrit, so she said, what is that verse? The first verse in chapter 8. King Karma, Kim Purushottam, Kim Adhyatma, something, you know. And just asking a question. Completely ignorant. So, all of a sudden a tree broke open. And a big demigod came out. And he thanked them. He said, I was cursed. I've been in this tree for, you know, millions of years. But I was told that when somebody chants this 8th chapter, I'll get out. So she only chanted the first two lines. And then they were shocked. And they weren't ghosts anymore. And then a Vaikuntha airplane came and took them away. So, you know, that may not happen to us right away, but it will sometime if we keep doing it. We just don't know what's happening from associating with Krishna because we have to cut through, you know, so many years of accumulated garbage in the mind. and karma. But once we surrender to Krishna, everything speeds up and we get real results, you know, something real, not just, you know, imitation. It's kim tad brahma kim adhyatmam kim karma purushottam. Kim means what, tat means that, brahma means Brahman, kim means what, adhyatman means the self, kim means what, karma means fruit of activities, purushottama the supreme person. So important, you know, to, because the more we read Bhagavad Gita daily, especially you read the same chapter or the same few verses, then you'll start to remember them. They'll be there, and you'll think about them all the time. You know, and when you see things happening in the world, you know, you can understand, okay, this is a mode of ignorance, this is a mode of passion. You know, you don't have to go read the CNN or watch CNN for 24 hours to find out. It's just the modes of nature happening all over the place. Karma, you know, mode of ignorance, mode of passion, mode of goodness. A little bit mode of goodness, not much anymore. You know, people don't like the mode of goodness. They go to a very nice, you know, beach and they smoke cigarettes and drink beer while they're sitting there. And then they go home and watch TV in the hotel, or, you know. Like, and I go to Thailand and Indonesia, so they sell the DVDs of the latest movies for like 80 cents US, you know. Like 1 rupee something. Retail is about 1.5 rupees. Then they say if you buy 10, you get cheaper. If you buy 20, if you buy 50, if you buy 100, it goes down to almost nothing. And they're fascinated. Oh man, they got to, and they just watch movies and drink beer. So they're crazy. They can't tolerate just the beautiful nature and everything. So, you know, we have to talk about these things. What, my Lord, is the Supreme Person? What is Brahman? What is the Self? What is karma? Fruit of activities. What is a material manifestation? These questions are over and over again. That's what Prickett asked. So many questions. Describing everything about the universe and the star, everything. You know, how did the soul get a material body? That's one of his questions. And it's all explained. Kim means what? You know, we were hearing probably about Hanuman a few days ago. The race of Vanaras with Hanuman, and they're called King Purusha. You know, are you a man? They can't figure out if he's, you know, he's a missing link or something. He's so much like a man, but he's got a tail and stuff. So then there's another one, Kim Devata. You know, someone so beautiful and nice, that, are you a demigod? You know. So, you know, we have to inquire, you know, what's going on. All right, so I won't bore you any longer. If anybody has a question, maybe you can come up with one. Yeah, who is first? He's always at you. We have a microphone. So please, you know, read the Bhagavad Gita. We heard that in class the other day from Bhakti Vasudev Swami, really heavy. Almost every class, right?
There's been a question about the soul.
Yeah.
The soul's form. We heard that when we get liberated, we go back to the spiritual world, we get our spiritual form. So what is the form of the soul within the body?
Huh?
What is the form of the soul within the body?
I don't know. Because those forms can change, so... you know, the super soul is always the same within the body. But not, you know, if someone's a devotee of Krishna, then Krishna is a super soul. Somebody is a devotee of Vishnu. So we don't have to worry about that, you know. That's like a mental speculation and just, you know, grinding things up and, you know, trying to think of trick questions or something, you know. And people want to know, you know, but it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
Why is it different? Why is it?
It's a matter of factual, it's a matter of philosophical knowledge. The Swarup Siddhi, is that not our eternal form?
That's not important to know either.
Oh.
You know. Prabhupada was not interested in that. He never talked about it. He was interested in how to spread Krishna consciousness. Every purport almost, every lecture. Our real mission is to spread Krishna consciousness. That's our duty. That's all we have to do. Dedicate, concentrate your mind. You want to control your mind? Think about how to spread the holy name, how to give it to more and more people. Get yourself busy with something that's, you know, in line. We don't want to be just Buddhist or something and ask weird questions that nobody can ever answer. What is the sound of one hand clapping? Right? Anybody know? I know. It depends on what it's clapping against, you know. If you tap a drum, you get, you know, you only need one hand. If you're just going like this, there's, you know, there's a sound of the air, somebody could hear it. But they'll go on and on just with riddles. That way they avoid gross sense gratification. And they change over to mental sense gratification. You know, to avoid getting out and preaching and spreading the holy name. You know, to drag you down because it just wears you out. Right? So let's talk about this, you know, that's the more important thing. I heard the class, morning class of Prithu Prabhu, he said, someone asked Prabhupada, what's the most important verse? And you, anybody remember? Huh? Yare deke, tare deke, Krishna Upadesh. Whoever you meet and wherever you go, what? Huh? Yeah, tell them about Krishna. Tell them to read the Bhagavad Gita. Give them a Bhagavad Gita. Tell them this is a great book. I love it. I read it every day. And if you really do that, you know, people go, oh, yeah, well, I'll take it. If you're just thinking we want to make some money, then don't catch too many people getting really interested. Right? But that doesn't happen anymore. But in the old days, you know, some devotees would just to get money, you know. They thought, we have to get money, the temple needs money, I have to sell books, because the temple president was telling them like that. But, you know, now we're a little more in line, and we have to distribute the books because this world is going to hell, and there's no other way to stop it, except people getting, becoming Krishna conscious. Right? There's no material solution. That was a rock song, very popular one. Right? Sting. There's no material solution to all these problems. So that was a long time ago. So people know, but somebody keeps thinking, no, but I got one. I'm going to come up with one. Every political issue is, you know, we have a better group than the other one. We have better ideas. We're going to help you. They all say that, and they all cheat everybody when they get elected. Right? Just some people, they believe their promises even though they know none have ever been kept in history. But Mark Twain said if voting made any difference, it would be illegal. Right? Who knows? The computers count the votes and tell you what came out. You know, who knows? Right? They can do anything. All right, any more? Yes, sir.
Thank you for the class.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Hare, Hare. Yes, sir.
Yeah. The soul coming from Bhagavad Gita.
From what?
Where the soul coming, where I coming from, I don't know actually. Whose soul is coming from?
Krishna. Krishna, just like the sunlight's coming from the sun. They're always there. Everything comes from Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak smartam poenam. What is it? I am the source of everything. Everything comes from me.
So
very simple.
What purpose became,
huh?
From Krishna, what purpose is the soul coming from this earth?
That's to earth, you mean?
This earth, Maharaj. What purpose this became, this material world? Actually, I want to understand, Maharaj.
To try to enjoy it. To get away from Krishna and try to enjoy it. To try to be the proprietor, to be the controller, all these things.
From Krishna means from his abode.
From Krishna.
From Krishna. So, from Krishna.
From Krishna.
Yes, Maharaj.
So from Krishna. Forget everything else. It's from Krishna. You don't have to, these things are just, again, just mental speculation.
Again, will this, if I done good service to Krishna, again I can go to spiritual world, again I can get the some same envy or ego. So
very rare. Like somebody said, well, the Bhagavad Gita says, once go in there, you never come back.
Never come back, but again we came.
But it's happened. Then Prabhupada said, yeah, but not sometimes. Very rare. Especially once you've gone back, you know, that you're going to get in trouble again. But it's possible because the independence of the soul is always there. You always have that opportunity to forget Krishna and try to do whatever you want. Right? That's the quality of the soul. And without that independence, it would be useless to try to, you know, to... Any enjoyment you have, or you know, is forced on you. Then, you have to serve Krishna. It'd be like being with Saddam Hussein or Dr. Doom or somebody. You know, you have to love him. You have to always keep a smile on your. We love our president. We love him, and you have to keep his pictures in your house and everything. It's against the law not to. You know, there's no happiness in that. So Krishna says, do what you want. Right? You know that verse? At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, so now I've told you everything, you think about it and do whatever you want. So then Arjuna says, well, I'll surrender, I'll do whatever you say, you know. But Krishna doesn't say, now you have to do it, I told you, I just took an hour of my time, you know. The whole battle of the demigods, everybody's waiting for the battle, you know. And I tried to talk to you because, you know, he says you can do whatever you want. But because he was intelligent, he said, I want to surrender. But we always have that, you know, someone asked Prabhupada, I can't understand, you know. And Prabhupada says, that's because you're too stupid, some reporter. And he said that, and in different things, you know. The Prabhupada said, it's not, we don't have to worry. We come from Krishna, and we want to be with Krishna. Some people want to be with Vishnu. Some people want to be with Lord Ram, you know. But Lord Ram comes from Krishna, you know. Everybody, all the incarnations, everybody comes from Krishna. Krishna is the cause of all causes. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda. What does that mean, Anadir? There's no cause, and he is the cause. Anadir and Adir, cause and not cause. Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. He's the origin of everything. Cause of all causes. Right? He's Aja, Ajo Nityam Shaswatam. It was very funny in Bali one time. There's one cigarette called Aja. And the signboards all said, enjoy Aja. A cigarette, but, you know, I just, you know, that's Krishna, he's unborn. And the meat eaters in India, they say, well, Aja means goat. So when the goat is killed, he's not killed. Which is true, but doesn't leave you innocent of any kind of reaction. So they'll say, well, you know, I'm not killing the cow, it's the eternal soul. But that's not such a good idea, you know. All right? So thank you very much. Any more? I don't really have much time at the moment. If you want to wait 5 minutes, I'll be back. I don't think you do. All right? So we